We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Brian Bush in for John Jansen this week, and we have a great interview to share with you. If you've noticed on our Michigan football broadcast so far this season, there's a new feature. It's called the Michigan Answer Spotlight from Michigan Medicine. It allows fans to hear from some incredible stories through Michigan Medicine, whether it's a patient, a doctor, or this past week against Washington, a medical student active here at Michigan right now. His name is Sam Grew. And while he was in medical school, he was also a Paralympic high jump performer in Tokyo, and he won gold in the high jump. It's an incredible story. We shared a part of it on our broadcast on Saturday, but we didn't have the full time to share everything that Sam talked about. This is the full conversation. It is fascinating, from when he lost his leg as a teenager to how he participated and competed and got ready for the Paralympics to the moment when he indeed won gold. It's a great conversation. I hope you enjoy it with a current med student here at the University of Michigan. Sam Grew coming up next here on Conquering Heroes.
Welcome to your one-stop podcast for all things Michigan athletics. Updates on every team on campus and interviews with players and coaches are all on the way. This is Conquering Heroes. Here's your host, Brian Bush.
Joining me today is Sam Grew, a medical student at the University of Michigan's Medical School, and also a Paralympic high jump athlete who just returned from Tokyo with a gold medal in the high jump. Sam, I appreciate you joining me on what has been an interesting return back to the U.S. and to med school, from what I understand.
Yeah, no, it's definitely been a bit of a blur over the past week. Crazy to think that actually I jumped a week ago today. Just with the time differences and the travel and getting back into med school, it has been just a total blur. Really looking forward to getting some structure and routine back in my life.
So let's start with the journey. And it began when you were diagnosed with osteosarcoma, which is a bone cancer, when you were a teenager. Take us through the diagnosis, which ultimately resulted in your right leg being amputated, something that, from what I understand, you pushed for. You decided to have that happen.
Yeah, that's correct. So, it was 2011. I was in seventh grade, athlete, you know, year round playing sports, football, basketball, baseball. And during my seventh grade basketball season, began experiencing some kind of sharp pain in my right knee. Well, I had grown 8 inches in the past year alone, so we chalked that up to growing pains. That's pretty standard at that point in time, and brush it off. Well, after a few weeks, the pain got worse, so we decided to go in and check it out. And, you know, we got the x-rays on Christmas Eve of 2011, and it pretty plainly showed a fist-sized tumor in my right leg. So spent, you know, basically the next 2 years in the hospital undergoing 21 sessions of chemotherapy. And during that time, I was given the choice of what to do with the tumor in my leg. And basically there were two options. There was limb salvage, in which they would keep my whole leg. They would replace the, you know, the knee that was eaten away by the tumor with an artificial joint. And there was amputation. And obviously limb salvage is the preferred option there. But as I thought about it more and as he discussed it more, you know, he was saying that it would be a very fragile replacement joint and that a return to sports just wouldn't be possible because, you know, stepping on it wrong, it could shatter. Even things like biking or going in the ocean would threaten the joint. And, you know, I thought about the lifestyle that I had lived, you know, up until that point, the lifestyle that I wanted to live moving forward. And it became clear to me that, you know, going with limb salvage was not going to be compatible with that lifestyle. And so I, you know, at 13 years old, made the decision, nope, let's cut the leg off. You know, I think this is going to give me the best chance at leading the life that I want to live. And, you know, I'm really proud of that decision. Obviously I made the right choice, looking back, but that was obviously an extremely difficult choice at the time.
So you said you were an athlete before that, and that's the main reason why you made that decision. So what was the transition process like? How long did you have to get used to things after your procedure? And from a mental side, I have to imagine it's a little bit different competing when there's still something there, but it's not what you had there before.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. So, you know, coming out of chemo and kind of re-entering the real world, my first goal was to get back into sports. And so about a year after finishing, I tried out for my high school basketball team, the freshman team, and made the team. And I was thrilled about that. But like you said, it was really frustrating for me because I wasn't the athlete that I used to be. You know, before diagnosis, I was taller, stronger, faster than, you know, the majority of my peers. And now I wasn't able to fill that role at all. And I understood, you know, that would take time. I understood that, you know, I would have to go through with more physical therapy and just getting used to using a prosthetic in the first place before I really, you know, saw a whole lot of growth. And, but yeah, I mean, it mentally, it was really challenging because I felt like I would never return to the athlete that I once was.
So when did you decide or realize that the Paralympic Games were a something you wanted to go after and a realistic possibility for you in terms of your skill set and your times and your jumps and stuff like that?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of one of the disappointing things to me is just how long it took for me, you know, after my amputation to really even discover and be integrated into the world of adaptive sports. You know, the U.S. doesn't do a great job at promoting adaptive sports or providing opportunities for people with disabilities. And so it took me, you know, at least 2 or 3 years living with a prosthetic leg to even realize that that was out there. And we just kind of fell into it. My dad had heard about an adaptive sports track and field competition that was happening outside of Chicago. And, you know, we decided to give it a shot. I'd never done track and field before. So went, you know, that was my first time being surrounded by athletes who looked like me and who were doing these incredible things, you know, running faster, jumping higher, further than anyone I'd ever seen with or without legs, you know. And it was really, as cliche as it sounds, it was just so inspiring to a kid like me who kind of lacked guidance and didn't know what life with a disability would look like. And so I tried high jump at that competition. One of the coaches there said that, you know, I looked like I had potential and that was enough for me. So I went home and started working it. And then, you know, within, I think it was probably 7 months after picking up high jump for the first time, I qualified for my first international team and have been on the team ever since.
It's fascinating to me how much work, whether it's a Paralympic athlete, an Olympic athlete, puts into, in essence, just a few moments of their life for those events in the games. So how do you compartmentalize that and know, hey, I'm putting all this into this one opportunity, this one moment, and you don't shy away from it? I mean, I think most people would think about all they put in. How do you put that in the back of your mind and focus the task at hand?
Yeah, that's one of the hardest things. In track and, you know, I've played all different sports, and in track and field, a lot of times the results are just so intangible and so hard to see. You know, you chip away so much in track and field, and it's not like basketball or football. You know, in high jump, you do the same thing over and over and over and over again. That's the whole goal, is to make, you know, your approach and your jump as consistent as possible. And that can get really monotonous, and that can get, it's hard to stay mentally strong with that, because you have no idea if what you're doing is right. You have no idea if you're going to spend, you know, 4 years looking forward to the games and then choke on the few jumps where it really counts. For me, honestly, you know, I am one that, you know, on the track and off the track, I really embrace the grind, I guess. You know, I really like making a plan, subscribing to the plan, holding myself accountable for that plan for the sake of achieving my goals. And so in that way, you know, I really do like the structure that training for high jump provides. You know, I know for 2 hours a day, I'm going to be, you know, in the weight room or on the track, working towards a goal, and taking the steps needed to achieve that goal. But yeah, I mean, it is very, very challenging some days just to kind of clock in and clock out, knowing that, I mean, just, I guess, not knowing what it's going to look like in the future.
Sam Grew, medical student at U of M Medical School, also a gold medalist in the Paralympic Games this past month, is joining us here. And so take me through the day, where your mindset was at, and then competing and winning gold.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I got to Tokyo about a week before the competition day, and that was really important to acclimate to not only the time difference, but also the weather. Cause I think one of the things that I and many, many others definitely didn't anticipate was just how hot it is in Tokyo around this time. You know, the humidity was hovering around 80-90% every day. And so, you know, weather app was telling me feels like 110, 115 degrees. And so that was difficult to come over, as well as a 13-hour time difference. So, you know, get there early and make sure your body's in Tokyo time and in Tokyo weather when it's time to compete. And then the day of, you know, one of the most important things for me, and I think a lot of track athletes, is just kind of keeping mental composure leading up to the competition. I competed at night, and so, and I'm an early riser. So I had a lot of day beforehand where I just had to kind of fill that in a way that wasn't going to take up energy, wasn't going to get me all riled up beforehand. And so I was just, you know, I ended up actually studying some med school like stuff just to keep my mind off of things. Until it was time to go. And then as soon as we got to the track, of course, the torrential downpour starts. I don't know how well cameras showed it or not, but it was a monsoon. You know, I'm from Indiana, live in Michigan. We get rainstorms all the time, but this was one of the biggest I've seen. And that's really challenging for high jump, because you run a pretty tight curve. And especially with prosthetics, there's always the chance of slipping out. And so it's really hard to run an approach, not only consistently, but safely. And so, you know, fast forward a little bit in the competition, you know, it came down to just me and one other athlete. And this other athlete was actually the guy who beat me in Rio by 3 centimeters. And it became clear after he had taken 3 misses at 1.88, at that point, I had one more jump remaining at 1.88. I was sitting in second place, but if I cleared the bar, then I would win the gold medal. And so, you know, in the pouring rain across the world, I had to get up to that line and kind of mentally recalibrate and convince myself to go and do the jump that I've done so many thousands of times before, when it really counts. You know, like we talked about earlier, you do it so many times for one jump at that point. And so, yeah, I mean, you see the video, I was talking to myself, I was hyping myself up, I was making sure, you know, that I was recalibrating. And then, you know, once I started heading towards the bar, there was no doubt in my mind that I was going to clear it.
That's so cool. So what's the moment like after you do? And then when you get that gold medal, I have to imagine there's parts of you that you'll never forget that ever. And there's probably parts you'll never remember, because it was such a flood of emotions.
Totally. Yeah. So, you know, I remember taking my first step towards the bar, and I remember standing on the pit, looking at the bar, still standing after the jump, and just being so thrilled because I had actually sort of nudged the bar on the way up. And so I looked back in anticipation to make sure it wasn't falling. And once it stayed up, you know, just a wave of emotions came over me because that's what I had worked towards for so many years. That's what, you know, a Paralympic gold is what has fueled me through all these, you know, days in and out of training. And so it really was, you know, a moment of joy as well as relief because I didn't want to miss that bar. I didn't want to know that I could have jumped. That was a bar I've cleared so many times in my life, but I just wasn't ready to go home with a silver medal. And then getting the gold medal, yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. I think you see it when you watch athletes up there and they are the national anthem's playing and looking at the flag, that it is a really emotional time because that's kind of when everything washes over you for real, you know, all the challenges you've had to overcome, all the obstacles that have been put in your way, you know, dealing with training through COVID in the past year and a half. And as well as just, you know, for me, it was emotional knowing that my family and my friends and my whole community back home were watching and were, you know, kind of able to experience this from afar, but alongside me. It was all just very emotional and kind of a great way to cap off a long 5 years in training for COVID or for Tokyo.
That's really cool. I appreciate you sharing that. So now, Sam, you head into or continue, I guess, medical school here at U of M. Take me through kind of the end goal. Something you said earlier that struck me was that, you know, there's not a whole lot of coverage and a whole lot of understanding of, hey, you know, here's an opportunity for someone who's disabled to compete in sports. And I know you've talked about representation within the medical field of those who have disabilities, who have had to go through things. How important is that to you? It seems like that's something you want to be a part of.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, when I spent 2 years in the hospital and I don't remember ever interacting with a healthcare provider who had a disability. And I think part of that is the reason why it took me so long to even find out what opportunities were available for people with disabilities. And so one of the big goals for me is to go into medicine and to fill that role for somebody else, you know, no matter what, whether it's orthopedic surgery, oncology, whatever I find myself doing, I want to be able to point those, you know, those patients that I see in a direction that is going to get their life, you know, on track and is going to, you know, really bring out the best in them, because that's what adaptive sports did for me. And so, I mean, disability along with so many other, you know, minorities are just grossly underrepresented in medicine. And so, you know, like you said, that's just a goal of mine, is to kind of fill that role and to, I guess, start working on those demographics, I guess.
And kind of along those lines, I know that these days, even with the medical school work and obviously with the training you had been doing leading up to the games, you make time to mentor some other track and field athletes who made Team USA with you. I know you're active here with the adaptive sports program at U of M. Take me through that and why that is so important, and how the heck do you carve out the time for that?
Yeah. One of the things that I say all the time, and I really believe, is that the Paralympic experience is so much more than just a competition. You know, you got to see it through a holistic lens. It's the stories of the athletes, it's the challenges they've overcome, it's the emotions of it all, and especially for me, it's the mentorship and the community. When I first entered track and field and the Paralympic world, I was kind of brought in by that family, and I had felt like I just got, you know, all these new big brothers who kind of understood what I was going through, who could see the challenges that I was facing. And I didn't have that out, you know, on my high school track and field team, because none of them knew what it was like to be competing with one leg or, you know, in a wheelchair or anything along those lines. And so it is really important to me to go and fill that role for others, especially, you know, Ezra, who was high jumping with me, same classification as me. I've been a mentor to him for 5-6 years now, since he was 12 years old, and he told me he wanted to jump alongside me in Tokyo. To see him in Tokyo with me after seeing where he was just 5 years ago, it was kind of a full circle moment. And again, yeah, you were talking about the Michigan Adaptive Sports team. Really so excited to be a part of this team. I think what they're doing is so incredible, because colleges just don't have opportunities for people with disabilities to compete. And so what, you know, a group like Michigan Adaptive Sports or, you know, a couple other schools around the country are trying to do it as well, is to really get things integrated in a way that people with disabilities are athletes. And so really excited to be part of that team. It's a really great crew to be training with, especially in these challenging 4 years of medical school. So I'm really glad to have them by my side.
Last question. How does all of this work that you did in sports, how will that help you be a good doctor? Because we hear so much about the impact that sports have on people, and they realize it down the road, but you were studying for medical school on the day you won a gold medal in the Paralympic Games. So you're kind of experiencing these things at the same time. How do you think that can impact you 5, 10, 15 years down the road when you're in a big procedure, or you're dealing with someone who's going through something similar to you, or just as challenging as you? How can this stuff help?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I guess the first thing that comes to mind is just how important mental strength is in sports is obviously going to be of equal or greater importance in medicine, especially, you know, in the big procedures or when you have to make big decisions or even when you make mistakes. It's important to be able to rebound from that. And that's exactly the case in sports. If I wasn't able to keep to stay mentally strong, there's no way I would have lasted this long in the sport. The sport, it tries to tear you down. It is, high jump is the most frustrating thing I have ever done. And so, you know, I really do think that having the ability to stay mentally strong, to persevere, is going to be so important moving forward in medicine, as well as just, I guess, the logistics of sports, you know, setting a plan, holding yourself to it, holding yourself accountable. That's what's gotten me. That's what's helped me find success in the classroom. You know, learning how to make sacrifices and prioritize things in your life. It's pretty much come down to sports and academics for me. You know, I've had to sacrifice, you know, my social life and, you know, going out and so many other things, but it's just a matter of finding where my priorities are. And, so I think that's gonna be really helpful moving forward as well.
Sam Grew, can't thank you enough for all the time you spent with us. Congratulations and good luck with the grind of med school. We look forward to seeing where this all takes you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Thanks again to Sam Grew for taking out so much of his time. It has been hectic for him, of course, in med school, on the high of coming off that gold medal win. It's an incredible video if you have a chance to take it out. Truly a remarkable athlete and somebody who's going to do even more remarkable things in the field of medicine. Thanks to Rebecca Priest and Maria White from Michigan Medicine for their assistance and help in getting us Sam's contact information, helping to set up that interview. Truly a tremendous conversation. Thanks to Steve Schilling and the rest of our Learfield crew for their assistance as well. And thanks to all of you. Hope you enjoyed this week's edition. We'll be back coming up on Friday. John Jansen's back. He's got his keys to the game, his locker room speech in advance of the Wolverines and the Northern Illinois Huskies coming to town on Saturday. And on Saturday night, we'll recap it all on another edition, a recap edition of In the Trenches. That's it for me, Brian Bush. Thank you so much for listening to this week's edition of Conquering Heroes.
Thanks for listening to Conquering Heroes with John Jansen. Conquering Heroes is part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network, MGO Blue Podcasts. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.